Get your free ticket to the upcoming Forum for Dwelling Justice, an activist-driven event featuring speakers including Senator Lydia Thorpe, Debbie Kilroy, Rouge Amedi, Whit Gari, and more. The Forum brings together grassroots activists and campaign groups to strengthen solidarity movements resisting ongoing colonial dispossession, housing injustice, incarceration, and poverty. The Forum ends with film screenings and a discussion between Uncle Larry Walsh, the filmmakers, and guests with lived experience of homelessness, displacement, squatting, and public housing. The event will run from 1 to 7 p.m. on Friday, the 26th of August, at the Capitol Theatre, 113 Swanston Street, Narm. Entry is by donation. Join us to identify the radical potential for resistance to dispossession and displacement in Narm. To register, head to cur.org.au/events or check the 3CR website for details. The Forum for Dwelling Justice is brought to you by RMIT's Centre for Urban Research, a 3CR supporter.
And you're back with Annie on Saturday's 3CR Solidarity Breakfast. And we've got David Kelly in the studio who's going to explain a little bit about this important event that's on next Friday. G'day, David.
Hey, Annie. How you going?
I'm all right. A bit of a frog in my throat. It was pouring before.
Yeah, I know. It's mayhem on the streets at the minute. There's rain everywhere. Yeah,
exactly. So this is an important event that's been auspiced by RMIT Urban...
Centre for Urban Research. Yeah. I guess it's not an academic event. That's the first thing to say. So what we've been able to do is pretty much expropriate the resources of the university in order to put on an activist event. So it's activist-led, it's peer-led. There's, I think, only maybe two activists involved in the whole thing and who will be speaking on the day amongst more than a dozen other speakers. So it's really not an activist, an academic event. But the RMIT Capitol Theatre has allowed us to use that theatre, which is an amazing theatre, and we've been able to get a little bit of funding to help support some people to participate in the forum, to distribute materials and to make donations to a lot of the campaign groups that are involved. So that's where the bulk of the actual funding support is going to go, to supporting people like Homes Not Prisons, Renters and Housing Union, and others.
The issue of having a roof over your head is a complicated thing, although it's a human right. Often it's discussed. I mean, I've been to a lot of different kind of forums led by completely different types of people. When it comes to government, they have a particular focus. They put it into particular spreadsheets, mm-hmm. And how it works and all the rest of it. But, of course, the lived experience of homelessness and the reason for why people don't have places to go to be safe in are various, isn't it? And trying to get those voices heard is really difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of times, that lived experience doesn't make it into the policy. But there's also a tendency for policymakers to make these sorts of issues really complicated. And, all this complex financial arrangements and these sorts of things that mean that we can't just provide direct provision of public housing, that we can't just provide housing to people who sleep in rough on the street. The answer is that they can. They actually spend all that money already, so there's no more money needed. But it's not... There's also this narrative that, homelessness is complex. It is. People have, a lot of different journeys on their way to sleeping rough, and some of them are really unpleasant, but the solution is actually quite simple. It's housing.
Yeah.
There's, I think, a lot of this program that we put together for the forum is to demystify a lot of that stuff and say, look, like, no, it's really quite simple, and homeless people have called for it themselves, and housing is what's needed, support's what's needed. And First Nations groups have called for it themselves and saying that all of this is tied to land rights, all of this is tied to sovereignty and dispossession. So we're really trying to make those clear lines of connection between elemental things that underpin housing justice that are lost in policy speak. And the
so you're talking about ideological difference, and really, aren't you? And so, for example, the business about homes, not prisons, is a really important element to this. I mean, huge amounts of money is going into builds of prisons that hold 1,000 prisoners.
Yeah.
I mean, people should act. I mean, when I heard that number, 1,000 prisoners, people should be shocked.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not really sure why there's not more outrage around the growth of prisons in Victoria, especially, or the presence of prisons at all, for that matter. Well, when we talk about prisons in terms of housing, I think we really need to, when we're trying to make demands to policymakers, we need to be clear that you are funding housing here. You're just funding carceral housing.
That's right.
And it costs a lot of money. And if you just had the provision of public housing in the first place that maybe these things wouldn't exist for you to then come in, you know, with your heavy-handed paternalism, actually, then just lock people up. But, you know.
Yeah, the idea that it's about the way you think, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about the way you think. Mm. The idea that a person... and stripping it right back to basic needs, really, isn't it? What are basic needs? If a person, and also self-determination. And this, of course, these are highly political issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I think it is how you think. And one thing that we're trying to get audience members to do, so in the audience, we hope that we find majority of the housing activists that are here in NARM. And we want them to listen for a day. Instead of, it won't be a direct dialogue with speakers who are on the panels, like people like Lydia Thorpe, and that they're not, we don't want the question of sovereignty and land back to be a Q&A. So what we want them to do is to change how they think about housing justice and say housing justice is...
All these other things
All
as
these
well.
Other things as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And really to get that in their head so that when we say, when we're arguing against the demolition of public housing in Victoria and Melbourne, we're not saying the answer is more public housing and the appropriation of more Indigenous land and that sort of thing. We're saying we want to walk and chew gum at the same time and say we can have more housing justice and be better aligned and better in better relation to Indigenous sovereignty.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And also the paradigm of policy, thinking things out in a particular way. Like I just did an interview with Carl Fitzgerald about the whole idea of rezoning a whole lot of land, giving it to private developers, and then all of a sudden we're going to have all these plots of land for people to have their first home on, right?
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened.
No.
It doesn't work.
No. Yeah. There's this constant narrative coming out of the property industry that supply, that's the reason why we have a housing shortage. We don't have a housing shortage.
And government policy, you know, like restrictions.
Yeah, yeah. So all we need to do is change the property regime and the zoning and planning and all that, and all of a sudden we'll have this massive growth in affordable housing. That's never been the case. When they come in and say, oh, we just need to knock down this public housing estate and then build more private and affordable housing and it would all be great.
It would be great.
But that apparently is untrue. We have more vacant homes in this country, in this city, than we actually have people who need them. Mm. So we don't have a supply issue. We have a distribution issue. Mm. So whenever we hear about more housing or more land being stolen and the loot distributed and you know, making its way around the property ecology, it's all... a myth.
It's a myth, isn't it? Yeah. And it's the capitalist myth.
Mm. Yeah.
Basically. But also it ties, it's this business about, it's a much more complex historical thing, isn't it, about land ownership, or, I mean, you know, land that actually is not, this is why this issue of Indigenous sovereignty is so important, because English law is based on land ownership, and that is one of the reasons for why the Mabo issue was a king hit against this established order.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's complicated, because it's a weird idea that over generations, thousands of years, particular groups of people have been stealing common property.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm Irish, and we have a very long history of anti-landlordism. And there's the same things that happen in other colonial contexts happen in this colonial context. And it is all about the land. It is all about bringing in new title over that land in order to then legitimize its theft. It even happened in Britain before, like with the enclosure of the commons and those sorts of things.
And there were activists in those days who actually fought against it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And the rewriting of history. This is why it's so important, this sort of event that you've got. It's because it's the lens that you actually put onto these issues.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we can see that the experience of dispossession and displacement is always unique, but it has correlates around the world. Excuse me. So we have panelists from Palestine who are going to talk about those sorts of dynamics and those sorts of modes of dispossession. And we're going to understand that there's a much deeper problem here in the housing question that we need to explore. And I think, for a number of centuries, people have been saying that the housing question is a social question. If you figure out the housing question, you will have a pretty big reorientation of relations within society that could be more equitable. So that's why we're really focusing in on the housing question, but saying it connects to all of these things, and sovereignty is the underlying basis for any questions of housing justice in this country.
Ah, fantastic. Perfect time to finish. Tell people how to get involved in this.
Yeah, sure. So it's a week away. We still have tickets left. It's if you go to cur.org.au/events/dwellingjustice, you will find an event page, which then has a link to an Eventbrite page where you can get your tickets.
I will put this link on the podcast.
Yeah, great. So we have sold just over 400, and we have a couple of hundred tickets left. So please, if this sounds like it's for you, please come. It is an in-person event, but if you can't make it on the day, we will have a live stream and a video posted afterwards.
Also, it's at the Capitol. It's in the middle of the city.
Yep. And
if you've never been to the Capitol, it is the most fantastic building. The interior was designed by... a terrible thing to say, Burley Griffin's wife. Right. But... I'm sorry, I've forgotten her name, which of course is the tragedy of history.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic 1930s interior that's been brought back to life.
Yeah, I mean,
it's extraordinary.
Yeah, I'm super excited about the venue especially. And there'll be two film screenings as well. So we're going to dim the lights and it's going to be really nice filming.
Lovely. Thanks for coming in
and
telling people all about it.